Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. It is Tuesday, January 11th, 2005, and I am Todd, the Geek from Geek News Central. And as always, we want to welcome you to the show. Tonight has been one of those nights that if something could happen, it would. I got all ready to do the show, had everything queued up, launched the audio recorder program, and for some reason it didn't see the line input. So I messed around for quite a little bit, had to reboot the computer. That's the first time that's happened. And of course I had like 30 windows opened up for you to get ready to get started. But anyway, we're up and running and ready to start the show. As always, we want you to call into the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 if you have any comments on the show, or send me an email at geek@geeknewscentral.com or Skype me at geeknewscentral. Now, today I know we have some improvements to our audio. We've actually acquired a new microphone. It is a MXL V69. It's a tube mic, and I want to thank the people that got it for me. I really appreciate it. It was something that I didn't go out and get myself, but I know it cost me a little money, and I appreciate it. Also, we're going to be having on the Geek News Central website. I know that most of you that tune into the site are PC users, but Tim, one of our associate editors, is at Macworld this week, and he will be posting some Mac tidbits. So please don't get discouraged with the number of Mac and Apple posts this week, because we are fortunate to have him as an associate editor at Macworld doing that. And as he's there on his own dime, not for us. But we hope he has fun. Also, I want everyone to know that as you leave comments on the website or you leave comments to me, we will never sell your information to anyone else. I had a little concern this weekend on a program I was thinking about signing up for, where they wanted to utilize our metadata, basically our hit rates, and find out where people were coming from. And we decided that that was something that we didn't want to participate in. So obviously we're not going to do that. But otherwise, I started my new job today. It was uneventful day. I had go around and see a bunch of people, and tomorrow I have to go through a indoctrination class, which is basically going to bring everybody in to introduce themselves and talk about the facility, etc. And it looks like I'm going to be pretty happy with my new job. I'm looking forward to the change. But I also started on my new project today, and I got quite a bit done on that. And those of you that are in the know will understand what that is. But it's going to be an interesting few months ahead of us here. I have a lot of show items to go over today as far as articles to review. So I don't want to waste any more of your time, and let's get right into the content. There's been a rash today of blogger posts that talks about blogging and your work. And one rule that I have always lived by was, if you're going to blog about something, make sure you don't blog about any work-related items. And there's been a number of people who have been fired over the years for web blogging, but there was a someone posted today, or actually posted on the 4th and edited it today, International Bloggers Bill of Rights. I think it's kind of comical that they put this up. And it starts out by saying, "We, the inhabitants of the blogosphere, do hereby proclaim that bloggers everywhere are entitled to the following basic rights: freedom to blog, freedom from Persian persecution and retaliation because of our blogs. Number one, if an employer wishes to discipline an employee because of his or her blog, it must first establish clear-cut blogging policies and distribute these to all of its employees. Two, blogging employees shall be given warning before being disciplined because of their blog. Three, no one shall be fired because of his or her blog unless the employer can prove that the blogger did intentional damage to said employer through the blog. Blogophobic companies who violate the blogger's Bill of Rights will be blacklisted by millions of bloggers the world over. So I thought this was a pretty cute reality. I don't know. But 50 people have signed on saying that they will support this. So I was curious to see where this is heading and what will happen in the future. Now, how many of y'all have heard about this guy out in Seattle who is got in line already for the Star Wars Episode 3? It's 22 weeks before Star Wars is going to be, Episode 3 is going to be released. And I'm kind of appalled. You know, does this guy have a life? I hope he's independently wealthy. Or what's the story with this guy? If he's out there drawing unemployment taxes or benefits, or I don't understand it. But apparently, he's done this once before, so this is nothing new. But this guy, man, he is a hardcore Star Wars fan. But it just appears, man, this guy might be a bit whacked. I found a cute article, and all of us that have kids probably have a lot louder kids to have Lego sets. But when adults get a hold of Lego sets and set their mind on doing something, they can do some pretty creative things. But this guy made a computer case out of Lego pieces. Now, I don't know if he glued them together or what he did, but this thing's a full-featured computer case made out of Lego pieces. So just goes to show you a little bit of ingenuity out there. Now, Russell Beatty made a comment on January 8th about Microsoft Consumer's Electronic Endgame, and I linked to it on the website, so I hope all of you had read the article already. But it's pretty amazing, and I think I agree with him on his assessment on what Microsoft's strategy has been. And if you're considered about DRM, and if you're considered about fair use, and you're concerned about one company having control of media, Microsoft is making big inroads. And with their partnership with TiVo, not that I'm saying that partnership is going to be a bad thing, but it's got DRM spelled all over it. So check out Russell's write-up, and let me know what you think, because I think he's dead on target with his commentary. Now, I think I explained to you before that I'm not a UFO fanatic, but I do follow the UFO, sites, and I follow Coast to Coast AM, listen to that show from time to time. But there's an interesting article out in the India Daily that talks about they may have been, they said that they've been contacted, and the government is sitting on a secret that all nuclear-capable countries all nuclear countries have been included on this secret, and basically extraterrestrials are in contact with them, and there's a debate on whether India is going to release this information or not. So pretty good read. Curious to see if this was just the comments at the end of the post on the second page made me wonder if it wasn't just a political angle, but it's an editorial, so check it out and let me know what you think. Now, on one of my earlier shows, I had talked about my UFO experience, and for the new listeners to the show, I think I'll just go into it real quick. We're 9 minutes in. I do have a lot to cover, but basically, when I was around 13 years old, my family and I were on our way home from an event in the town that I live in, and it was 9:30, probably maybe close to 10 o'clock, but it was dark and it was in the summertime. It does get pretty late, dark pretty late in Michigan, but I do remember it was dark out. And we'd come up to an intersection and turn right, and on the left-hand side of the road, there's a long string of maple trees, kind of one after the other, but they're pretty old maple trees, so the branches start up pretty high up, and I could see, you could always see from the road into people's yards and above their houses. And as we were traveling a short distance down the new road, we happened, at least, I don't know who noticed it first, but we noted this object to the left of us that was barely moving, and it was dark, but yet light. You know how it is, kind of when you have the stars out and you can see. And this object was just black and had a few lights on it, but it was really quiet that evening. I'm getting goosebumps telling this story again. But anyway, the my dad stopped the car, and we were on a paved road, so that tells you that it got his attention, and a road that's normally pretty busy. But we watched this object move, and it kind of moved in to the left of us and forward a little bit, and then it did a 90-degree turn and came across the front of the across the top of these above these maple trees, across the road, and passed on to the right-hand side. And I was sitting on the passenger side, so as I turned my gaze, and on the passenger side, that stretch of the road was a big open field, nothing there. And this object did a lateral cross the road, and it hung another 90 and basically started heading parallel with the road. My dad had basically seen enough, and he decided that it was time to beat feet and accelerated a high rate of speed. And this object paced us for, I don't know how long. But at one point, the object just took off, and I call it going supersonic. It left in a flash, and it did have a couple of lights. But you know, like I said, it was a quiet night, and the car we were in was really quiet. And this object passed close enough to us; we never heard anything. You know, nothing like a helicopter, no airplane noise, and it was just weird. And the best way I can describe the object, it was black and kind of like one of those big fuel barrels. You know, it was looked like a just like a big fuel barrel, huge. You know, like maybe a 10,000 gallon type. You know, one of those. It's just huge. And we got home that night, and we live out in the country, grew up in the country, and man, my father wasn't having nothing to say about this whole incident. It was just weird, really weird. Peg out 10 on the weirdo scale. And for years, we never talked about it. And I know that up to that point, I had really not been scared of having my window shades open at night. But it had an effect on me at 13, and I remember pulling the shades for many years because, you know, I didn't know what the hell it was. But this whole UFO thing makes me wonder what's going to happen. You know, my grandmother, who's 90 some years old, she had an experience when in the 60s, and was actually interviewed by the maybe even the 50s. Don't have an exact time frame. Do have some still pictures though that she took that of something she saw, and the Air Force and their Blue Book or whoever it was at the time came out and investigated it, and it was one of those things they wrote off as unknown. And then a few years ago, I had another incident that happened to me while I was flying, but I'm not really going to go into that topic too much. But I do have a whole bunch of people that saw it the same night. So do I think there's something out there? Sure, you know, who knows? But this report coming out of India with this news report makes me wonder. You know, are they telling these people, you know, you use this, you go and use the nuclear weapon against somebody, or try to do it space-based, and we're gonna take you out, or I don't know. But if there is communications going on, I just wonder how long before something is let the cat out of bag, and if something does get released and someone says something, whether or not it will be discredited and pulled off as, you know, someone that has lost their marbles. But Anyway, we'll see. But that's kind of my point. Now, I did, I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I think I did, with Apple suing ThinkSecret. Been a lot of news on that and how, organizations like InfoWorld have got in and kind of smacked him down, said it was bad policy for him to do this. But, they're basically saying that the headline on this is Apple's Big Brother. And they go into the idea that Apple is watching us, you know, the Big Brother, and their legal team is ready to pounce. So I'm not buying any iTunes stuff, folks. I'm not buying any Apple products. I said that in the last podcast, and I'm going to stick by that. And they haven't stopped doing their, you know, stopped their lawsuit against these guys yet either. Okay. Let's see, I'll go on to this next article. We talked about that already. Oh, a little bit of wrap-up information from the Consumer Electronics Show. And the numbers, they're saying that it was 142,585 attendees minus one web blogger from 115 countries. There was 2,550 official exhibitors. They had 1.531 million square feet of exhibits. There was 130 international, federal, state officials that visited CES. I just can't believe there was only 130. Oh, please, there's probably more than that, but they may have not announced it. And the 2006 Consumer Electronics Show has been announced for January 5th through 8th. And I guess it goes to say that it was a big draw. Now, 1.4 million Google hits or Google searches for CES 2005. And so all total, it looks like with all the different types of search algorithms, maybe close to 20 million searches were done on Google for the 2005 CES. So I guess it's the place to be, and I'm going to be there next year one way or the other. Now, I read a great article on Ziff Davis, and the title of the article is "Will Microsoft Monoculture Take the Pod Out of Podcasting?" And Ziff Davis has produced their first podcast, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I'll be real curious to see how it turns out. But there's a, probably a thousand word article here on podcasting, some history, some economics and political type stuff on it, what's going to happen with the relationship between Microsoft and TiVo, and just some basic overview. So a great article. A few comments I don't agree with him on, but overall I think that was done fairly well. Hackers have been busy. They've been out there and went after George Mason University. And I guess they scored like 30,000 Social Security numbers and other information from the university earlier this month. That's just goes to show you that these schools are need to work on their security a little bit. I don't understand why a university of this nature would not have the people in place to be able to protect their networks. Just goes to show you that your information's not safe anywhere. And with 30,000 Social Security numbers being compromised, you can almost guarantee that those have been sold on the black market already. Yahoo announced today their own software search for hard drives. Basically, it is a new product that's been developed, and it's going to be designed to be another desktop search solution. So we can all go over to Yahoo and pick up that application and see how it's going to work. But I'm reading a little more into the article because I didn't read a lot initially. And it may be part of a plan for them to go after smaller companies. Maybe it isn't for personal use. Yeah, it is. It says desktop Yahoo. So it must be their desktop search engine that they've released. So let us know how that application works out. Comcast is going to be offering web-based phone services. And this hasn't been in, you know, this has been in the news a little bit recently. But what I find interesting about their release is they're going to be like charging like $40 for it. And I just wonder, is this another company that's smoking crack? Because, you know, you got AT&T and Vonage and Verizon that are already going out there. They're developing their own voice IP, services and offerings. They're saying that their big claim to fame will be if your power goes out, they're going to have a backup battery, which you'll be able to still make phone calls. I guess I want to ask, what happens when the power goes out to their network substations, or the cable companies have transformers and stuff all the way around their network? I don't understand how they can guarantee this service when your juice goes out in your house. But apparently they can. They're going to try to make it just as reliable as the old telephone sitting on your desk. But for $40, nah. I'll go with another company. A lot of good diehard geeks listen to this podcast, and a lot don't. So I'm going to be putting up a link about ripping MP3s. A lot of people don't have a, they just go ahead and stick their CDs in, and they rip away with whatever the default settings is of their ripping software. But for those of you that do not really take a close look at what's happening when your CDs get ripped, check this article out, and it's going to give you a little tips and tricks on some settings you should be making with your ripping software. Now, Engadget is reporting that Walmart has basically kind of dropped a bombshell on Netflix by dropping the online DVD rental, monthly rental, to $12.97. That way undercuts Netflix's price, and I just wonder if we're going to... It's good for consumers because we're getting into a pricing war. I know that the Netflix users are pretty hardcore and like the product. I just wonder, I haven't heard too much about the level of service that Walmart is offering. Now, one thing that they did put in here is they put an update. They forgot to note that the cheapo plan is only two DVDs at a time, which is, this is for Walmart, and Netflix's $17.99 is for three at a time. So, okay, $12.97 for two DVDs at a time, and with Walmart, and three DVDs at a time for $17.99 with Netflix. So, I think Netflix has still got them beat, because, typically, I don't know about you guys, but when I go and rent DVDs, I normally get three at a time. Two is about two evenings worth of consumption here. Oh, when we started the podcast tonight, we forgot to welcome President Bush to the podcast. Now, I don't know if he's out there listening, really, but he could be, because inside scoop is that the GW has an iPod. So, I wonder if he's got that loaded up with his music that he likes. And I know all that music is paid for. So he wouldn't be have any shared music on there. Of course not. He's the president. He wouldn't do that. But I'd like to know who's going to be the first podcaster that the president is going to admit listening to. So if you're out there, Mr. President, tune in. We want to hear from you. We want to get an email from you saying that, we listen to the Geek News Central podcast. That'd be a boost in ratings, wouldn't it, folks? Apparently, Xbox 2 is going to... Apparently, it's going to have a price hike. It's going to be... looks like going to come out around $400. So there's going to be an increase from $299 to around $400. So this is speculation, but we did realize that the Xbox crashed during Bill Gates' demo at CES, so maybe they need to go back and work the bugs out of that thing before they try to sell it for $400. Now, a new tactic being used by spammers, and I thought this was pretty interesting. Now, the software that I use on my server is not affected by this, because we just basically cut them off at the pass before they even try to play this little trick. But what they're doing is they're going out and doing a mass spamming in the evening. You know, let's say they send 100,000 or 200,000 or a million spam messages out of a hijacked server, and then and the return address goes to a domain name that is non-existent. And then in the morning, after they've sent the spam and got the date timestamps on them, they register that domain, and hopefully they get a few kickbacks for it. Basically, a few responses, and that way they're kind of avoiding the CAN Spam Act. Now, I don't know if anybody's actually gotten prosecuted by this ridiculous bill in the first place, but they're saying it's having a big effect on DNS servers, in that, you know, the DNS servers are doing lookups and saying, yeah, this doesn't exist, this doesn't exist, and depending on how the setup is at the ISP, you know, the ISP's DNS server or the email system may try to receive that email a number of times by, you know, looking up the DNS, and if it's not on the blacklist, you know, there's a lot of net traffic that's being handled there to validate that that is a valid domain name, is coming from the right place, and it's not on a spammer's list. So, curious tactic. The easy solution, let's go back to where, you know, you register a domain name and you don't get it for a couple of days. You know, I registered several domain names last week on GoDaddy, and they were available immediately, and I was able to actually update the DNS, and having them pointed at a host within about 15 minutes. Several years ago, that was impossible. Now, obviously, the DNS didn't replicate throughout the network, but all it had to do is go back to the source stack to find out where to point them to, and it was, you know, virtually instantaneous for us. So, you know, you register a domain, you have to wait 2 days. You know, nothing is that big of a hurry, unless it's a humanitarian relief effort, like happened during the Southeast Asia, where there was websites that were launched almost overnight. Microsoft fired some people today, or within the last couple of days, and they had to call in the police after firing the individuals that they claim have used its discounted software purchase program for employees. You know, I've known people that have scored some Microsoft products before from relatives that work at Microsoft. So I wonder where the buying level triggers Microsoft's internal audit review to say, hey, you're abusing this and not using this within the employee guidelines. So, but anyway, they were let go, and they didn't really comment on it to say if there was going to be a criminal investigation, but apparently these guys were buying too many of the employee discounted products. Okay, I got two links of the same thing. One thing, a site that I'd almost forgotten about for a while, and it's on Yahoo, and it's Yahoo's picks, and it's basically a pick of the day for what Yahoo considers to be a cool site. And I used to look at this all the time, but now they have an XML feed, which you can subscribe to that, and you can have that pulled down on a daily basis and check out what they're recommending. Sometimes they find some cool stuff, sometimes they don't, but there's different types of topics on there every day. Now, there's a ongoing debate, of course, with people bringing personal media devices into work. I know where I work at, I am not allowed to bring in a personal media device to have it sitting on the desk to play. You know, there's a concern on, you know, that thing being plugged in the computer, and any data being put on the hard drive that shouldn't go there. So it's kind of tough sometimes to get my media fix when I'm at work, with the exception of direct downloads off the internet and to listen to programming, which is allowed. But, you know, IT people are struggling with that, And apparently, some of these technologies are saying that personal, personal devices are being used in like 29% of the companies they polled. But the IT people are technically just looking away, hoping that there's not going to be a problem. But I know a lot of them IT professionals get wigged out and stressed when they learn of these type of devices. But what's the policy at your company? What do they do to you guys? Do they allow any media devices in? Can you sit in your cubicle or at the desk you work on and have a iPod with earbuds plugged in, jamming away while you're working? I can't do that where I work. It's they consider you being distracted or non-productive, I guess, wasting time listening to program, which is kind of sad. Because there's a lot of times I'm just sitting at the computer hacking away at memos and that type of stuff, or technical papers, and which I could very well listen to something in the background while I'm working. But that's the way it is at my employment. What's it at yours? Now, in the science department, scientists are watching matter that fall into a black hole, and they've learned some pretty cool things. And for those of you that are science geeks, you're going to want to check out the link about this black hole investigation they've been done and finding out about some conclusions that they've come up with. All of us that are longtime geeks probably had Commodore 64, Trash 80. Depends on how old you are. Some of you guys that listen to the show were around when. Or started getting their first computers when they got into the Pentium series, but some of us old fogies had Trash 80s. I remember a Trash 80 that my mom got from me that I had to load basic code on with a cassette tape, and it didn't even have a modem, didn't even have any type of memory source. The memory source was on a cassette, and I had a great time with that programming up some basic code programs and absorbing magazines that had code samples in them, and it was fun. But apparently, a lot of our cell phones are out there are more powerful today than what was on, some of those pre-PCs, So some guys are making emulators that will emulate some of those old programs we used to run, and they're loading them on phones that have an actual operating system on. So, hey, check that out. That's on Wired. Now, one of the Chandra X-ray Observatory has discovered what astronomers are claiming this week to be the most powerful eruption in the universe. And apparently what happened is this eruption has lasted 100 million years. And it looks like it's also created a black hole that is 300 million times that of the sun. And the gravitational pull is 300 million times the sun. So that is, that's wild. And the picture they have up on the article is pretty wild too. Something that, the tragedy down in Asia with the tsunami, the only good news was that, scientists were able to collect data via satellite that measured the wave, and it's going to help them build better models to determine what happens during a tsunami. So at least the satellites caught it. It didn't help them to get warned, but at least they've got the underlying data to be able to go back and build the models that will help save people in the future. Now, just so that we don't forget, out there at Saturn, we've got a probe approaching Titan, and we're going to have a pretty good entry event here in the near future. So we've got some articles that updates on what's happening in that and that going on out there and out by Saturn. So check out the news on that. And finally, this evening, or today, or morning, wherever you may be, Technorati, I talked about them last week, launching their new keyword watch list feature. And I have subscribed to about 20 watch lists. And I must admit, they're doing a pretty good job. And something they point out here, that David Siffrey pointed out, is that TechnoReady, when they spider a weblog entry, they spider the entire entry, not just the XML. They go through, you know, they basically pull the whole post in, and that is kept inside their database. Now, that information that they have acquired goes all the way back a couple of years, so that's one thing they beat PubSub by. They don't, they keep the data indexed so that if you're looking for a certain search item, you can find all the posts back to 2 years that existed with that keyword search. So that's nice. That's something I didn't know. So a little information for you all. Well, we're about 39 minutes into this, and I want to thank you for listening to the Geek News Central podcast. Send comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com, or Skype me at Geek News Central. Of course, call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 with your comments. And we know that you're out there listening, because we continue to see the listenership climb, and we definitely appreciate that. We will be back with a regular show on Friday morning, and we'll keep you informed on what's going on, folks. No special interviews planned this week, and I appreciate you listening, and we're going to leave you with a little music from GarageBand.com. This is part of our intro music, Cold 2 by NG.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Oh, I just clipped the whole damn audio thing. All right, folks, have a great, great week, and we'll see you on Friday.